Good morning and welcome. Everybody got real quiet. That's my signal to start, right? Some Sunday mornings I have to tell you to be quiet, but not this one. So I'd like to welcome you all to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'm pastor here and will be leading worship today. Dorothy Driscoll is our liturgist, and Reverend Heather Hicks will be doing the Especially for Children. Lynn Meyer will be playing the organ and the piano, and Earl Linhart directing our choir. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card that are in the pew racks in front of you and put them in the offering plates that are there at the back of the front part of the sanctuary. If you're visiting with us on our live stream, you're invited to put a note on our Facebook page. And if you would like to learn more about this church, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. I have a few announcements to share this morning. The first of which is our flowers this morning are given by Rob, Jan, and Jim in memory of their parents, Emily and Robert Miner. And they're all here today, so glad you could come and be with us here in our sanctuary. Those of us who've been around a while certainly remember Emily, and she sat right about there, didn't she? Our Discovery Zone will meet tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. All children are invited to join us for fun and an enlightening program. We have games, crafts, and Bible study and dinner as part of our program. And these are programs for children and middle school and high school youth, and we'd be glad to have any who come. If you have any questions, you can talk to Heather, and she'll tell you all about it. Last week I announced the Presbyterian Nine Patchers might not be meeting this month because of an injury to Karen, who leads it, but they have decided they will meet this week on Tuesday at 1 p.m. That's our quilting group, and you're invited to come and be part of that. The Ladies' Night Out will be meeting Tuesday evening at Matt the Miller's, and you can contact Diana Westfall. She needs to get a count number for the restaurant, so if you're planning to go, let Diana Westfall know. Next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday in our church. Hard to believe we're already there, isn't it? It's also Laity Sunday tradition in our church, and this year our Laity Sunday preacher will be Elder Jim Hines. Will be preaching on the theme of service to Christ, and we'll look forward to that. Following the service will be the hanging of the greens for Advent, which is in 2 weeks. So if you can stay after church next Sunday and help with the all the things that beautify our sanctuary for Advent, we certainly would appreciate that. Looking ahead a little bit, the children's Christmas pageant will be on Sunday, December 4th at 5 p.m. Put that on your calendar. The children are invited to join us for that, and there will be a rehearsal and Advent workshop on Saturday, December 3rd at 10 a.m. So contact Heather if you have any questions or to sign up. Looking again at Advent, the Habitat Progressive Christmas Concert is coming. That's Friday, December 9th from 7 to 9:15 p.m. And that's where our church, Church of the Master and Church of the Messiah, will host concerts, and you all get to move from concert to concert. Thus, it's called a progressive Christmas concert. It's a lot of fun, and we're reestablishing it after missing it for a couple years because of COVID. And tickets are $10 a piece, and they're sold by several in our church. John Cameron, who else we got here? Diana Westfall, Sue Ann Norton, and Bernie Sipkins, and many of them are here. John's up there, and Sue Ann's over there, and Bernie's over here. So you can buy your tickets for that. Next Saturday, we will host a memorial service for Gary Harvey. Visitation will be from 3 to 4 p.m. with the memorial service at 4 p.m., all that here at the church. And as part of our worship service today, we'll be recognizing our veterans and active military personnel. Veterans that are in the sanctuary will be invited to share that information as part of the service a little later. And we do want to appreciate our veterans and want to recognize them today in worship. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Good morning, everyone. Today we are doing the call of worship, which is based on Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before God with happy songs. Know that the Lord is God. Remember that our Creator made us. We're God's people, flock of the pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Bless his holy name. Give thanks and bless God's holy name, for the Lord is good, whose steadfast love endures forever, and whose faithfulness to all generations. Let us worship together.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, we acknowledge once again that we fall short of our high calling as your people. If we have worked someone well, while withholding help that we should have given, forgiven us, O God. We have loudly proclaimed our faith, but then refused to follow Christ. Forgive us, O God. If we have desired peace, yet stoked the fires of conflict, forgive us, O God. The power of your Spirit, make us persons of courage, compassion, and integrity. The grace of God. Amen. Beloved of God, nothing can separate you from the love of God, made known through Jesus Christ. Know that your sins are forgiven. Praise be to God.
Young friends, please come forward. And I invite the young person in each one of us to also be present at this moment. Sometimes we just need to get in touch with our inner child. You can come up, Steve. How are you guys today? How are you all this morning? How many of you have ever been afraid? Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever have something that you had to do, but you were afraid to do it? Maybe like get up and speak in front of people, or maybe you had to go up against a bully at school, but there was something that you had to do, something you had to go do that was really scary. You know, we have people in our congregation today and people from around our country who had to do something really scary, and they signed up for it. Did you know that? Yeah, we have men and women in our church today that we celebrated on Friday, but we're going to celebrate them today all again because they are very, very special. And these are what we call veterans. Have you ever heard that word before? A veteran is someone who is in a branch of the armed forces in our country. And they may have fought in a war, or maybe they had to protect our country. Okay, maybe they patrolled parts of our country or the oceans. But these are what we call veterans. And I'm sure that there are probably some people in your family, in your own family, who are veterans who fought for our country. And today you're going to see, I see Gary up here, and he's got his uniform on, his military uniform on. So those are people that we want to say thank you today. So you're going to see them after church. And if you see them, I want you to go up and shake their hand and say thank you for your service. All right? Because they did something really special for us. They were very, very brave, and they did something that was very, very scary for them and protected our country. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you so much for our veterans. Because, oh God, there are some things that are just too scary to even put into words. But these men and women, they were so brave, and they got the training that they needed, and they followed the orders that they were given so that our country and other people around the world might know freedom, and that they also might know safety. And we pray, oh God, for them and for their families, for all of the time that they have given to us. And it's all these things that we pray in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. And now you may go back with Miss Nicole and head up to Sunday school time.
Our scripture lesson this morning is New Testament the whole way. It is just many verses from Mark 10, from 17 to 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he said to them, "Teacher, I have kept all of these from my youth on." Jesus, looking at him and loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked, and he went away grieving, for he had many, many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said again to them, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astonished and said to one another, "Well, then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things in God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything to follow you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. For many who are first will be last, and the last will become first." Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before I start this morning, I'm going to invite Elaine Foley up, who I was supposed to invite up during the announcements. So come on up, Elaine. Share your announcement.
Well, it is about a Bible study. So the Women's Circle is starting a new Bible study this week on Thursday. It's going to be this year. The whole study is on Sabbath. It looks like a really great study, and I would like to invite any women who have not joined us before to join us. If you would like to, would like to know more information about it, please see me afterwards. We follow a Horizons Bible study from the Presbyterian Women. And so see me after if you're interested. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. And given that you'll be studying the Bible, it seems maybe an appropriate spot for that announcement, since we are going to reflect on the Bible passage that Dorothy read. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we ponder the words that were read to us this morning, may your Spirit fill us with understanding and direct our thoughts and my words in ways that are pleasing to you. Amen. A while back, I was in a store that had a display of games, you know, box games up on the wall there. And I've loved games, so I looked them over. And one of them caught my eye. It was entitled, "Would You Rather?" All right. The premise of the game was that players drew cards that gave a forced choice. And the players were to make their choice. And only one of the two given choices were allowed. It was meant to be a party game. You were supposed to laugh over your decisions and talk about them and have some fun with it. The would you rather choices were comical. even downright silly choices, like would you rather have Cheetos fingers for the rest of your lifetime or a kernel of popcorn stuck in your teeth for the rest of your lifetime? Sometimes the options were funny, like would you rather be stuck in a car for 10 hours with Justin Bieber or Lindsay Lohan? However, sometimes these would you rather questions made you think. Like, would you rather have a lifetime supply of free meals from your favorite restaurant or a lifetime supply of free gasoline? Depends whether you ask this question now or 6 months ago, right? Or would you rather look better in photographs than you do in person? Or would you rather look better in person than you do in photographs? Think about that one, huh? Or this one. Would you rather have no one show up at your wedding or no one show up at your funeral? Yeah, see? They're not as funny anymore, but they're thought-provoking, aren't they? They do make you think. And then there are questions that are truly profound. Questions like, would you rather have no internet or no cell phones? All right, maybe that's not as profound as it could be. But the question that Jesus implies in our question this morning is truly profound. Of course, Jesus isn't asking a question of the rich young man who comes before him, but Jesus' answer to the man's question, in that answer, he is, in fact, asking a question, a would you rather question. The question Jesus poses to this young man is this: would you rather give away everything you have and follow me? Would you rather keep everything you have and never receive eternal life? The thing is, we don't know how the young man answered that question. But then, maybe that isn't important as to which answer he chose. Maybe what's more important is the answer we choose. This passage from Mark is a great Bible story. Here's a young man, apparently wealthy, highborn, who is obviously miserable. His possessions notwithstanding, he has not found happiness. Having heard of an itinerant preacher who seems to have all the answers to life's questions, this young fellow goes to him with the most important question of all: how can I inherit eternal life? I suspect that this young man wasn't referring to life after death as much as he was referring to his current life now. I think he was actually asking, how can I find meaning in my life? How can I find any real sense of joy to replace my unhappiness? Money doesn't do it. Status doesn't seem to do it. Power doesn't appear to do it. So tell me, teacher, what will do it for me? And this is why this is such a great story. It is thoroughly modern, isn't it? The young man is asking the question that has probably nagged all of us at one time and another. What can I do to make my life worthwhile? Some of us ask this question in our high school and college years, when we think we are trying to figure out what we want to do with our life. And we hope that picking the right major and starting on the right career will give us the meaning we seek. For others, this question raises its head when we get out into the world and start building our career and our lives. Only we discover that jobs and money and freedom do not always give us everything we expected it would. And we begin to ask ourselves, like the rich young man, why am I not satisfied? For others, the question pops up in middle ages when the work that we have done and all the successes we've had and all the money we've made hasn't delivered. I mean, we look at it all and we have to ask ourselves, why don't I feel content? Why do I feel something is still missing? And the question nags at us. And it can continue to nag us even when we reach our older years. For even then, we can find ourselves asking, what can I do to make my life still count? Because it sure doesn't feel like I've done anything so far. And that is the point of this story. That we are all searching for what the young man called eternal life. We are all searching for the one thing that will give our life meaning. And Jesus has the answer. Jesus replies to the young man that he must be careful to obey all the commandments. But this young man is basically a decent guy and can legitimately claim that he has been a good and faithful person. Then Jesus says something else. Go and sell all that you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me. But then Mark tells us that the young man went away sad because he was very rich. Now, before I go any further, I need to be clear about something. This story is not just about us selling all our possessions. In fact, I'm not sure it really has anything to do with selling all our possessions. Obviously, if we all did that, there would be no one to buy all our possessions. I don't know if Jesus really wanted this man to sell all he had, but I do know that he was telling this young man that there was something getting in the way of his life. And for him, it was his money and his possessions. What Jesus was saying to the young man was this: quit focusing on your money. Quit thinking that because you have so much, you are better or smarter than other people. Quit fantasizing about the things you can buy. You know perfectly well that 10 days after you buy a new toy, you are bored with it anyway. Instead, start doing things for others. Let God be part of your daily thoughts and values. You see, Jesus knew that there was something getting in the way of a meaningful life for this young man. And Jesus knows that there's always something getting in the way for all of us. For the young man, it was his wealth and his possessions. And that might be true for some of us here. For other people, it might be fame, or at least the grasping for fame. Maybe it's the need for success, or maybe it's some activity like sports, or many of a million other things that we choose to pursue instead of pursuing God. And so Jesus gives us a would you rather choice. Would you rather have many possessions or have eternal life? Would you rather have 10 million in the bank or eternal life? Would you rather be known around the world or have eternal life? Would you rather? You get the idea. The choice is ours. And that's another reason this makes me one of my favorite Bible stories. Look at what happens when Jesus gives this young man the answer he seeks. The young man walks away and Jesus lets him. Jesus didn't badger him like some of us preachers might do. He doesn't chase after the young man and demand that he change his ways. He doesn't guilt him into making a choice he wasn't ready to make. No, he lets him walk away. The only thing he did was turn to his disciples after the fellow had gone and quietly observe that finding true inner fulfillment has little to do with material wealth. Jesus, having told this young man the one and only way to find the inner happiness he sought, allowed him to leave because for this young man the time wasn't right. I think Jesus trusted that the day would come when the advice that this young man had received would make some sense. In any event, we cannot force people to believe something they choose not to believe, and we cannot force people to have values they're not ready to accept and own. And we certainly can't force people to love other people. That comes from within. We can give them the environment for these things to happen, and that's what the church is all about, but we can't force them to happen. Like Jesus, we can just point the way. Would you rather? And sometimes people would rather hold on to what isn't working than to follow what is and what will work. And there's one more thing I'd like to observe about this story. It lies in verse 21. After Jesus asks if the young man has kept all the commandments, and the young man tells him that he had, in verse 21, Jesus says, verse 21 says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. I find this to be one of those beautiful moments in Scripture. Jesus looked at this young man, this troubled, worried, but eager young man, and loved him. Jesus looked at the struggling young man and saw into his innermost soul. He saw the young man who wanted to do right, wanted to be right, wanted to become right, and yet just couldn't. He couldn't let go of the things that were holding him back, the things that he thought would give meaning to his life, but he was finding out were meaningless. And when Jesus saw this young man, he loved him. And when the young man realizes that Jesus loves him, truly and deeply loves him, then I think he will discover what eternal life is all about. And I hope the rest of us can too. Amen. This being the Sunday closest to Veterans Day, certainly a very fun and honorable tradition in this church is to have veterans be recognized in service. And what I'd like to do is invite veterans to stand and then go around the room and tell us what branch of service you were in. So all those who are veterans of our military, please stand and we'll go around the room and point to who. We'll start here in the choir. John?
John Rowe, States Army.
Okay.
Dave Beeman, U.S. Army.
John Cameron, U.S. Army.
Okay. Gary Hinn?
Gary Hinn, U.S. Air Force.
Okay. Back here, John? Okay. Jim? Okay, back here. Okay. Way back there? Okay, I don't see anyone else. Thank you all. I think a round of applause is appropriate. There are others who contacted me during the week and want to include on this Veterans Day recognition is Aaron Barr, who's in the active, granddaughter of Linda and Kay Mackin, active in, she's in the Air Force, right? Yeah. And Kyle Hogarth, who's in the active in the U.S. Army. We have Will Neustorfer, who's a new veteran, just recently discharged from the U.S. Marine Corps. John McElhaney sends some names of others in his family, including Ann's father, John Hudson Lee, and her son, Sean McElhaney Pahia, if I'm pronouncing that right, John, and his wife, Carrie McElhaney Pahina, both in the Air Force, Charles and Judy Mulligan, also both in the Air Force as well. And we have, we do want to include a couple that who have died during this past year who were also military veterans, and that includes Mike Etling and Gary Harvey. Let's take a moment and offer our personal prayers to God, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, let us pray. O God, we thank you for our military veterans and those who are still active in the military, and for the service they have rendered to us through their sacrifice and toil. We thank you for these men and women for whom self was secondary to the common good, and who sacrificed and served believing in the best principles of our country. We honor them for the witness they bear to us, and for the freedoms we enjoy and the price of those freedoms. In the same way, we give thanks for those who gave their lives in the service of this country and continue to ask blessings upon their families for the burden they have borne and continue to bear, and may we ever be grateful. We pray as well for their families, and we may you particularly care for the families whose loved ones continue to deal with the injuries that they may have sustained in service. We pray for our nation on this day, O Lord, and for the nations of the world, that all may work towards peace and reconciliation. Help all of us to find ways to resolve our conflicts that do not need to resort to violence and intimidation. Help us to see that we all share this planet, and that you have given us, and that we must all need to work constantly for your peace and your justice. We pray that you, Lord of Light, might rise up with healing for those who are sick and comfort for those who are grieving, especially those whom we've mentioned this morning. We pray that our congregation might be strengthened through this worship so that we may not be weary in doing what is right. In thanksgiving for the saints who were granted the opportunity to testify for Christ and who endured suffering on account of their faith, we pray that their witness may inspire us also to testify to Christ with words and deeds and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Holy God, enthroned in glory and surrounded by saints and angels, we bring before you these petitions so that all else that we might need might be granted. Hear our prayers for the sake of our Savior and King Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Peace, and may the love of God be yours this day and every day. Amen.